Hi guys, thanks for tuning in to episode 86 of the Kitchen Stitches podcast. Today is June 10th, and it has been a while since we talked to you guys. It's been a while since we've all three sat around the table together. I'm Summer. You can find me on Ravelry and Instagram as Summer Yarns, which is S-O-M-E-R-Y-A-R-N-S. And I have Katie and Darcy here with me. They want to introduce themselves. One of these days, this will be less awkward.
I know. This is Darcy, and you can find me on all the usual suspects, Ravelry and Twitter as Slightly Foxed, Instagram, also on Ravelry, you can find me that. Did I say that? I did. I don't know what I've said. And then Instagram, it's Slightly _ Foxed, because somebody was rude enough to take my name.
I'm Katie. I'm Katie B, K-A-Y-T-E-E-B-E on Ravelry. On Instagram, I'm Katie B, K-T. And you can find the links to my profiles and stuff off of my Ravelry profile.
So I think it's been about 6 weeks since Katie and I recorded, and I think Darcy recorded with us the time before then, but I can't even remember.
Yeah, it was time before because I had to look at notes and stuff. Right. But yeah, it was the time before. I missed one.
Sorry. So between the three of us, I think we have a lot to talk about.
Oh my gosh.
So grab your favorite beverage and sit down, pick up your knitting, and join us for a little while. I personally am drinking some, I think it's Egyptian mint tea from World Market. I don't remember. I'm sure there's a different brand. Maybe it's just World Market.
You're so fancy.
But I like iced tea better than I like hot tea. And it's really not a Southern thing. I was never a fan of iced tea growing up, but I'm trying to become a tea person, and I've decided I can do it if I drink it iced. So I've got my iced tea.
It's too hot for hot tea.
It definitely is too hot for hot tea.
Although I think of like Cliff Clavin from Cheers. Well, when the British ruled the Punjab. I'm just drinking a Coke because that's what I drink.
So we've got a little bit of everything to talk about this week, so I'm not going to even try to go into the different categories. We'll just start out with our finished objects. I'll start. I've only got a couple. The big little one that I finished. I finally finished the Gridolin, which is the third pattern in the Hunter Hammerson Curls book, her first Curls book. I started this as a Christmas Eve cast on Christmas Eve 2015 and finally finished this sometime within the past few weeks. Yeah.
Sometime in May.
It was the end of May because I was able to count it for Stash Dash. So sometime within the past few weeks. And I used Schaefer Yarns Heather in an unknown colorway. I didn't have it written down, and I no longer have the yarn, the band. I think it was something like Brown Sugar. It's a really pretty,
really pretty.
Kind of a bronzy color. And this was,
but it's so, it's a soft.
Yeah, it's really soft. It's definitely it's like 50% silk, 50% merino, maybe.
But I mean, it's a soft color
too.
Yeah,
it's a soft color.
But yes, all of the above. Yeah. But it's very elegant.
Yeah, it is. It is very elegant. It's a really pretty pattern, kind of like a mock cable, with a twisted rib detail. It's really, really pretty. I think this was about 400 yards. And it just ate up the yarn, and I only had one ball. And this is—it's big enough that I could make it work. I'm modeling. I know you can't see, but if I drape the wide edge over one shoulder and were to pin it with a shawl, mm-hmm. like a shawl pin, I think I could make it work.
That could be super elegant with like a nice dress, right. Or yeah, it would be. It's a really nice touch.
It's not going to get a lot of wear, but I suspect I'll find a way.
But it'll be pretty.
Yeah. The biggest disappointment is I really wanted to give this to my dad's wife as a birthday present. It just seems like, I'm not sure. I think that she would definitely be knit worthy, but I'm not sure about the style. She's very stylish, and I don't want to give her just like a plain knit cowl or something like that. I'm not really sure that she would get a lot of wear out of this, but this seemed like something she would wear. But it's not big enough to gift to anybody. Right. It would sit. So one of these days I'll come up with a pattern that is Sarah worthy. So I finished that, and then I needed a quick finish after. No, I was working. Okay, that was my works in progress. I was getting bored with something, so I needed a palette cleanser, and I found a pattern. It is the Chunky Dean Street hat, and I don't think I wrote down who it's by, but I used Malabrigo Mecha in Polar Morn.
That's what it looks like.
It's polar. I think it's Polar Morn. And this is a very textured hat. It's a mock cable detail on this. And this was, I did this in a day. It is super, super squishy.
I'm gonna squish.
Pass around the squish.
Oh my gosh.
It's just merino. It's a single ply, all chunky but not like super bulky merino.
Yeah, it's like the worsted, but a bulky, chunky version.
Yeah, and it's just so soft. And the pattern was so much fun and so quick that I think I very well may buy some more skeins of this to knit it up as gifts, because this will be, it's like,
yeah, Dave super likes stretchy. Mecca. Yeah.
I like it a lot. I was actually looking at one, I have actually this hand spun that I have that I'm going to talk about in a minute, I thought might make a good one. It's kind of a bulky, almost bulky, but really, really like that. So those are my only knitting finished objects, but I have several spinning finished objects to talk about. So move on to that. The first one is the Rock and String Creations BFL Silk in Caramel Apple Cider. I was spinning on this, I think, actually the past two episodes, and I finally finished this sometime in May, and it's very definitely a sock weight. I wasn't so sure about the colors when I was spinning it up, and if I were wearing this around my face, I'm not sure that I would like it as much, but this is going to be socks, and I think it'll make really nice fun socks. I like the way it ended up. And then right after that, I needed a quick spin because that one took forever, and I spun. This is Two Guys Yarn. I knew you were going to like it because of the purple. Because
it's purple.
Two Guys Yarn BFL. Oh, it's a mixed BFL silk, I believe. And it's two ply. It's purple and gray.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's lots of gray in there. Yeah. It's really pretty.
That mixed BFL, you've got a lot of the natural that comes through with the
petting.
Yeah, it's this squishy.
It is very
and it's
squishy.
A really nice round yarn for a two ply.
Yeah.
But it's a little bulkier than what I normally spin. It's about 156 yards, I think. Yeah, on the Rock and String, I got 400, so more than enough for a pair of socks for me. This one, like I said, I might do the... This is the one I was saying I might do the Chunky Dean Street hat, and I think it's bulky enough that I could do that. If nothing, I mean, I could go down needle size. But then, just this morning, I finished plying the Elemental Fiber Works in Merino Tencel in the Earth colorway.
Ooh, that's
this is like that greens is and browns, and there's some blues in here, and it's very masculine. I think this would make a really nice something for a guy. I would say sport, heavy fingering to sport weight. I got 400 yards, so it's, I mean,
I would want to knit something that has like that leaf lace pattern.
Oh yeah, that would be really
that's
nice.
One of my favorite kinds of patterns to do is that, you know what I'm talking about, there's that it looks like a leaf and it's a lace pattern that has like the oh
yeah, that would be really nice,
like
nice.
A cowl with that.
I'll have to look into that. Yeah, so I have about 400
because it's very elfin to me, like it speaks very like
yeah this very yes.
wood elfin.
This is very Lord of the Rings.
Yes, it's very Lord of the Rings.
And I actually misspoke.
I will always go to the nerd part.
The Rock and String, this is actually 460 yards. So I could get two pairs of socks out of that. And then, this is one of the most fun things about spinning to me. I had leftover Rock and String, which is the, oh, I didn't even talk about the colors of this. So you've got like these golds and reds and kind of, not chartreuse, not that bold of a green, but kind of olives and golds. So you've got that, and then the earth, which was very greens and browns. And I had I had leftovers on two bobbins, and I decided to spin them together. And looking at these two side by side, you would not think that they would work at all. But this is so pretty. I got about 100 yards of this.
Well, that's fun.
I'm going to unskein it so you can see better. Yeah, it just
fun.
It worked really well. I was so
there's a lot of blue in there. Yeah. It's like some blues and some reds and golds.
It was
but it's not screaming colors.
Yeah, right. I was just so pleasantly surprised. That's it's really it's so much fun to just I've done this several times where I've just mixed whatever's left on my bobbins, and so far I haven't had anything that's come out a mess. I'm sure the time will come. But this was I was really pleasantly surprised. So I finished that in the earth this morning, and it's warm enough in Houston that I was able to soak it and wash it, and it was dry now, and it's what time
you
is
did
it?
That this morning?
I applied it and washed it and set it out in the sun, and it was dry in 2 hours.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you like roll it in a towel or anything?
I roll
so
it,
you get a lot of
I roll it in a towel and step on it, and then I snap it. And then just lay it out.
Wow.
Yeah,
for as humid as it is.
Yeah. I've during the summer. That's one of the best things about spending in Houston during the summer, because you can finish this stuff and it's done.
I want to come over sometime and just like watch your whole process of like when.
That would be fun. So that let me make sure. Yeah, that's I said I only had a couple, but I forgot about the spinning, so I'm done.
You want to go?
Go ahead. I can go ahead. Okay. You know me. I'm full of shenanigans, and I'm also full of, like, you guys are so elegant, and then, like, it's me. I've been,
deprecate yourself. You have awesome stuff.
To be honest, it comes to this time of year where I don't want to make garments at all. For some reason, around this time, I always become obsessed with baskets.
Oh.
Like, I have to make containers. So, I got this book from the library, that Crochet to Calm, and it had like these really simple little baskets. Mm-hmm. So I hit my cotton stash of like all the
kitchen cotton,
the what is that, sugar and cream?
Yeah, sugar and cream.
Peaches and cream.
That I just and I had like small balls that I just kind of made little baskets to like hold jewelry and watches, and I did like four of them. I have one that's entirely purple. The ones that I have with me, one of them's like kind of like a pastel rainbow that I topped off with pink, and one is like greens and purples. And anyway, so yeah, I've become really obsessed with containers about now, which is such a weird thing to say, but
I really like those, and they look, I mean, I can tell this is mindless and super, I can imagine it's just repetitive.
I memorized the pattern the first or second time, and then I cranked out four of them.
Mm-hmm.
I made one that kind of looked like a Pokeball for my daughter, and added a button on it so to hold. I don't know what it's going to hold, but the other part that's kind of shenanigy, if you will. Okay, so backstory: I went to Comic Palooza, which is our big kind of nerd prom. Pop culture convention that happens usually in May, usually around Memorial Day, but this time it was mid-May. Anyhow, while I was there, I picked up the stuff from a group called Monster Scouts. They're monsterscouts.com, and they're such a fun online group. It's one of those groups, it's like a combination of like makers, and there's a little bit of diesel punk, and a little bit of like live action role play, and we have and there's like a scout uniform. The online community is really fun. Mm-hmm. I actually bought a satchel of holding. Ooh. And you can buy some of the patches, but there's a couple that you have to earn. Okay, so this is the backstory. One of the ones that you can earn for free is called an art scout, and art can be whatever, you know, if you draw, if you but it has to be something. So what I did is I made an owl bear, which is, okay, so again, I'm going to nerd out. So for like role play games like Dungeons and Dragons, it's one of those weird creatures, and it's what you would think. It's a bear body, owl head. So I made a little owl bear. It's on Instagram. You can see him. And it was one of those weird kind of patterns. I've done enough toys that I kind of looked at, like, okay, so this is how you would do an owl head. And I looked at the toys that I had done. It's like, okay, I like these kind of bobble toes. Mm-hmm. So I actually kind of improvised him, her. It. I don't even know, but he's like very
he to me, but
I think that's what my daughter said. He's kind of a he, and
I don't want to assign a gender to him.
I know he's kind of genderless. Yeah. And I play, it's like it was weird, one of those weird improvised patterns. I even took out a stitch marker at one point going through rounds, and I just said, this is about where it's going to be. Mm-hmm. And which was a very strange for me, not to follow patterns. Mm-hmm. And stuff. And I improvised with the eyes, so I'm kind of
so adorable.
He's so cute. He's really, really cute.
His eyes are soulful.
What I did was I played instead of safety eyes to have them be, sometimes they can have that surprised look. I played around with stitching in some yarn, so I kind of gave him some eyelids. So he looks kind of like a little sad, a little sleepy. So there's definite expression to him. So I love him. I think he turned out well. I got my Art Scout badge because mm-hmm. of it. That's on my badge. I also got a special badge from, one of the people who runs Steam Crow, who's in charge of the Monster Scouts. I got my Donna badge because of it. Mm-hmm. And cause she approved what I did. And I also made up a song. So I got a Song Scout badge too.
Oh, I heard your song.
Yeah. Yes. A goofy song. That's on Instagram too. So it's a fun group. So that is my shenanigans and what I actually have done. Back to things that are actually like elegant and knittery.
Elegant is not a word that I would ever use to describe myself. Other than this shawl. This shawl
I'm whimsical and quirky.
Yes. There we go.
Anyway, Katie.
Okay. So I finally finished the never ending knitted on border to my fair shawl. FEYRE, which is by Shannon Cook. It's a crescent shaped shawl with different textures. It's a big crescent. So you knit that, and then
that's a shawl you fling around yourself.
Then there's a knitted on border that's sideways that I think took longer to knit than the rest of the shawl. I blocked it yesterday, so wow. It's all nice and drapey. And
it's really pretty,
I'll
yeah.
I'll send the ends in later.
That's one that you, like, dramatically fling around yourself. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, it's knit in Plucky Knitter Scholar 2.0 in a small batch 21, which is a speckle, white cream colored with black and gray speckles. And then the other color is Wanderlust, which is like a dark charcoal gray. So I measured it, of course my measurements are upstairs. It's like 60 some inches wide and 21 inches deep. It was a pain to block too. Well, I put, what do you call them?
Stitch markers?
Blocking wires. Through the eyelets on the mm-hmm. top. And then used the comb pins, and I used all my comb pins on this, so that when I went and blocked my hidden falls, I had to use T-pins. I regret that decision. Yeah, trying to get T-pins to stick in bath towels doesn't work.
So
I'll weave the ends in on this, and then get my husband begrudgingly to take some pictures.
I really like the neutral nature of that.
Well, the original, the one that Shannon did, is kind of opposite this. So she uses a marled, mm-hmm. Like a black and a white marled, mm-hmm. I think it's wool folk, maybe. Mm-hmm. And then where I have the gray, she uses a white or cream colored. Mm-hmm. So mine's just opposite that.
Yeah, I really like that.
So it was an easy knit. And the border wasn't hard, and it was easy to pick up and put down. It just took forever. Because it's like 300 stitches twice.
But it looks like a really useful piece, yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay. And then I finished
all
my corner to corner blanket, which I still want to know how the math did not work on this. Did you hear that story?
No.
Okay. So I had a whole bunch of partial skeins of Three Irish Girls worsted yarn.
Okay.
I didn't know the yardage, but I weighed them all. They were all the same base. Well, I initially had 8 colors, starting from the green to the green. So from the green to the pink was halfway, and then from the rest was halfway. Well, the first 4 weighed less than the second 4. In knitting math, you would have yarn left over.
Right.
I ran out of yarn. Hence why the bottom looks like it does.
It's pretty though.
Because I had like 2 pounds of these partials from a long time ago. So it's done in a gradient, like a leafy green, and then there's some other variegateds in there. And I put pictures on my project page. So it ended up being over 1,000 yards.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
It doesn't look like it.
No, that doesn't look like 1,000 yards at all.
But it's because it's, you know, it's all double crochet. Right.
Yeah.
And you do 3 stitches. I just don't understand how the first half, how the second half 8 more yarn when you're decreasing.
Yeah, that's bizarre.
Oh my gosh.
So either I accidentally increased somehow, but it's square, so... I don't know. I need to get someone to answer that question for me because it's a mystery. But so that's done. I just need to weave some ends in. Find somebody to gift it to because I don't. It's too small to use for me. It's mm-hmm. It's a baby blanket.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it'd be a good baby blanket. So
that's what I got done.
Do you want to keep going with whips?
Sure. Okay. It's been a long time, so. I'm still working on, like, the 10 projects I started way back when. One of my projects that I actually had made a whole bunch of progress on till mid-May, and then my hands hurt really bad, so I stopped working on this, is Hemrick by Lynn DeChristina. This I'm using Mad Tosh DK Twist in Cosmic Silver, so it's a very light gray with speckles of bright colored.
It's pretty.
So it's alternating sections of garter and then drop stitches on the bias, and it actually knits up pretty quickly. I'm on the second ball of yarn. Yeah, I'm on the second ball of yarn. So I'm working on that. I haven't worked on that in a couple weeks because the double yarn overs hurt my hands there for a while. Mm-hmm. My hands have been really bad the last 2 weeks. So let's see, we had to make an emergency trip to Wisconsin, so I had to pack some yarn. Of course, I took the one project that has like 6 balls of yarn. and I got through in a week, because this is mostly what I worked on. I got through most of this in a week of The Second Avenue by Amy Miller. It's a long rectangular wrap knit in sections of stripes. There's an eyelet section, 2 eyelet sections, and then some big rugby stripes. There's a ruffled edge, and then the other edge I think is picot or something like that. I'm using Plucky Knitter, Primo, and Snug Fingering. I'm using a speckled color called Small Batch 19, which is a pale blue and cream and some rust and green in there. Chimney Sweep, which is a really dark gray. One of my eyelet sections is called Twill, which is like cream colored. And then my other 2 colors are Solstice, which is like an icy blue. And I can't remember. I have another green color. Oh, Green Goddess, I think. So I'm about a third the way through it. So
So
that's pretty.
Yep, haven't
that's
worked
really
on it.
That's really sweet. That's a pretty one.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. The Vorfreud by Moni Ebner is at work. That's a weird shaped, more of a scarf. The top or part half of it is all striped in big. There's big sections of stripes and then little pinstripes. I'm using Plucky Knitter Primo Sport in good jeans, which is a dark blue, like a pair of good blue jeans. Avocado Toast, which is a avocado green. Red Haven, which is an orange red, and then Early Light, which is a light blue. I'm about, I think, a third the way through that. It's really easy. It's still at that point where it's only like 60 or 70 stitches, so it feels like mm-hmm. fast knitting.
Yeah.
I find once I hit about 80 stitches is when I start to slow down, or it seems mm-hmm. to go slower. So that's at work because it's easy to pick up and put down. And it's repetitive. You know, it's, you increase once every like five rows, so mm-hmm. it's not hard at all. I started also a Yowza Weigh-It Shawl. I was able to wind a whole skein of Yowza on my...
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I just went really slow on my ball winder.
Ooh!
Oh my god, that's a huge...
Yeah.
That's like a... That's bigger than a softball.
518 or something like that?
Yeah.
Yards
I'm trying,
like
to, trying to get it, but yeah, it's bigger than a softball.
Yeah.
For real.
Yeah.
It's like a melt... Like
yeah.
a cantaloupe.
Yeah.
So,
like a purple cantaloupe.
Yeah, it's Yowza Weigh-It Shawl number one. So it's the long, skinny one that has a ruffle by Susan B. Anderson. I'm using Miss Babs Yowza in Petulant, which is various shades of purple, pink purple, and there's some gray and black in there.
It's a delightful name.
Petulant.
Petulant.
So my sister-in-law really liked the color, so I might give this to her when I'm done.
That's gorgeous.
So I've just been working on that. I tried to take stuff that was easier, mindless. Oh, and then I left that over there. I picked back up my Sunday shawl, which is a crocheted shawl. It's kind of bohemian. The edging's kind of bohemian, or the colors. It's by Aaliyah Bland, and I'm using Plucky Knitter Primo Worsted. The main color is called Heartstrings, which is kind of a oatmeal. And then I've got various other colors that I'll use for the edging. I started that October 2015. I'm just like, I was kind of in the mood to crochet something, mm-hmm. and so I picked it back up, and I'm like, how do I do this again? So, that's what I've been working on.
Okay, let's see. You know, I have a lot of things to talk about, but I've really been focusing on one project. But I'm going to try to keep these in order; otherwise, I'll leave something out. So, first thing I have. Is with my Whiz Bang socks. The pattern is by Sarah Hsu, and this is in Kimmery yarn in the Blue Bonnet colorway.
Oh, pretty!
I got this at Houston Fiber Fest last year. This is one I had actually really wanted to get it when we were at Yellow Rose last year, and I ended up not, but she had it in Houston, so it's really pretty blues and whites. And then the pattern is a slip stitch pattern. It is a paid pattern. I like the way it's working up. I think the pattern will work better in something that was more variegated and not just, this is almost more just like tonal than a real variegated something that was.
But it's making up really
pretty. Yeah, and it'll be, I mean, it's at least it's different, so it's not just a vanilla sock.
And yeah, with the slip stitch, it is evocative of blue bonnets.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah, that's true. So that is fun. This is very slow going. It's pretty much I keep it in my purse, so it will get done when it gets done. It's mindless enough that I can take it and work on it wherever. Surprisingly, I usually unlike a vanilla sock, I can usually do like four rounds or so and then I'm kind of done for a little while. I don't know why. I took it with me to my son's graduation and I think I got four rows done, which is, and considering that there were almost 800 people who graduated in his class, we were there a long time.
800 kids in his class?
Mm-hmm. It was I think it was the largest graduating class of his school ever. And my husband's been teaching there for 21 years, and it's definitely, you know, My high school just keeps going.
700 kids. Wow. I can't imagine having that many in your graduating class.
I can't either. That's like twice the size of my actual school.
I knew like three people who graduated with him. I know names, but we don't live near the school, so most of his socializing happens at school or right out, you know, outside of school mm-hmm. hours, and I don't know the kids. So that was that. Now, the one that I have been working mostly on is the Starting Point Mystery Knit Along by Hohe Locatelli, which everybody under the sun is doing, except for the two people sitting at the table. There's a total of five clues. The fifth clue came out this past week, and I am still on clue two, but I'm almost done with clue two. But I have this in my Casey's Pockets to go bag that I got at Yellow Rose this year, and it has the cutest little sheeps on it. I just love them so much. But, so I'll show the one half of clue.
Oh, that's fun.
So you work each clue, you work twice, mm-hmm. and then they're joined together at the end. And I kind of looked at the pattern, and I'm like, oh, I'll just have to let it do its magic.
Okay, I saw how it's joined together.
This is a five color shawl. It's kind of like the Find Your Fade. Everybody was posting their combinations for a while. There were a lot of kits that people were selling. I stash dove and was able to get everything except for one color, which I did order. So my color one is Undead Yarn Twilight, which is sparkle yarn, and Midnight Graveyard, which is kind of it's a tonal gray with kind of like a little bit of a brown overtone to it. And then color two is Lorna's Laces Shepherd Sock in Brick, which is a brick red. And color three is Hote Knit Yarn Jimmy Sock, I believe it's Jimmy Sock, in the Night Owl colorway, which is a variegated with blues and kind of that same brick red and browns and just a whole bunch of different colors. The kind of deep, almost jewel tone.
This one?
Yeah.
Okay.
And this one, yeah. And then color four is the one I had to order. It's Madeline Tosh Twist Light and Paper, which is just an off-white. And actually, I love this base. It's so soft. And then color five is some that I dyed myself last year sometime. It was Knit Picks Stroll that I dyed with spruce and turquoise. So it's
really pretty. It's God, a blue that color is and green.
It's a lot bluer knit up than it was in the
scene. I agree. Yeah, so I'm actually very happy with it. It does have some spots where the dye didn't go all the way through, but I like it.
I kind of like it when it does that.
Me too.
I mean, it gives a texture.
I am really, really happy.
It's really pretty.
Came out. And the colors are working really, really well. It was kind of serendipitous because I had this Night Owl, and then I was able to find yarns in my stash that played with that. The only problem is the Midnight Graveyard, it butts up against the Night Owl in a couple of places, and because, I mean, that almost exact color is in the Night Owl, it's kind of hard to tell where the Night Owl ends and the Midnight Graveyard starts, but
again, it's like I kind of don't care.
No, I don't either.
It's got a nice, because it flows visually. Yeah. So
I'd say it's okay. Probably four rows away from being, I think that's right. Either four rows or eight rows. I mean, the four repeats or four rows. I can't remember now. Away from being done with clue two. And then clue three is almost exactly the same as clue two, just with different colors. So
people are running out of yarn, though.
Are they? Actually, okay. I'm not surprised.
Cause especially on color four, I think. I don't know. On the plucky board, a lot of people are saying they're running out of yarn on one or two of the colors.
Oh, you know what? It might be color four because I switched one and four because I had to order. She said you could eat. Four is supposed to be the darkest and one is supposed to be the lightest. But she said you could switch them if you wanted. And since I had to order the Madeline Tosh, I went ahead and started it with what would have been number four. And this, well, I have this plus this because I had to break the skein, but I can definitely see that it could be a problem. So maybe Heidi will dye me up some more.
Well, that or they're just shortening it by a row or two, but then you got to remember to do that on the other side.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Good to know because I really haven't been following it because
I wanted to see how it was going to be put together. But yeah, a couple people are running a little short on some colors.
When I was doing this, I was actually a little worried that I might run out, so I'll keep that in mind. But I am, it's especially the part I'm on and what at least most of Clue 3 is very much mindless knitting. It's perfect TV knitting. I'm a little tired of the bands of garter stitch. It's not very exciting, but I really like the colors, how the colors work together. Okay, so I also have been working on a giant granny square blanket. Literally just a big old granny square. I did find a pattern, but I don't need a pattern. It's just a granny square.
Right.
I'm doing, this is my luxurious granny square is what I should call it because I'm using Madeline Tosh. I'm using
fancy granny.
Fancy granny. That's I'm using the colors of the month for Eat Sleep Knits Yarnathon that Madeline Tosh is dyeing that are Willy Wonka themed, and I thought it would just be really fun to make a blanket out of those. So far I have got 1, 2, 3, 4 colors, and I'm not quite done with the fourth color. I did miss a month, so I'm missing one of the colors, but that's fine. The first one this is just Willy Wonka, which is kind of a grayish with lime green and purple. And then there's Fizzy Lifting Drink, which is gray, a light gray with black speckles. Then Mike TV, which is white with blue and red speckles. And then the last one is Violet Beauregard.
And it's very blueberry.
Really, blue blurple. It's a blurple.
You're turning violet, Violet.
And I actually, they were out of the purple on Vintage. Actually, they had run, I completely missed it, and then they found some more, or not some more. So I think they had to she re-dyed some. There was a problem with the order or something like that. They didn't have it on Vintage, which is what I'm using on the others. They had it on Tosh DK, and it is not a problem. I mean, you couldn't tell that these are two different yarns. So I'm very happy with it. And then I have, this is an acquisition, but I'll go ahead and talk about it. This was the next one is Snozzberries. It's speckled with fuchsia and lime green and turquoise and
that's so pretty. Avocado
or olive green in there. Yeah. And awesome orange. That one's going to be a lot of fun. And it'll go really nice right up against the purple. So, this has been a lot of fun. And I've got about this much left of the purple. Oh, wow. Which will probably be about another round.
That's so pretty.
Yeah, so.
How much? 200 yards?
It's about 200 yards per skein. And this is already a nice size. It's not quite big enough for a lap blanket at the moment, but it's not that far off. So it's going to make a nice size blanket if I'd get 11 colors. I did have one issue with it because apparently my cats like it also, or one of the cats. Oh, I am actually thinking it's probably the kitten. And I think she got down in the bag or something. I keep finding, like, I would have it and I would find the bag on the floor and some of the yarn elsewhere. But she had actually chewed through some of the stitches. But luckily, it was on the outer edge. Okay. So I was able to just rip back and, you know, just
fix it.
So it wasn't a problem. But other than... It was an annoyance, but it was not disastrous. Okay, let's see. Then I started working on the Starting Point mystery knit along. That was mid-May is when the first clue came out. So the first couple of weeks of May, I did put in some time on a couple of other projects. So I have the Paralucia shawl by Very Busy Monkey. I'm using Happy Feet Dye For Me, which is dyed using spruce, which is the same. I hand dyed this one myself. This was so one of the same colors that I used in the other yarn for the Starting Point. And where is this one? I think it's, no, not that one. This one. Okay. I actually got quite a bit done on this, I believe. I haven't looked at it. I'm on the edge of this. I think I'm about halfway. I think I'm at the halfway point for the edging. So it's got these, I don't even know what you would call it. Paralucia, I think, means butterfly. And it's going to make kind of these.
It's kind of like wings?
Yeah, maybe? They're kind of like wings. Basically it's like crossed loops. I don't know how to explain it. And then the middle part, there was one section where there's cabling, where the pieces cross. Kind of reminds me of, like, if you think about like an Irish knot, how they cross. It's similar to that. The color, this is really pretty. Again, it's got a couple of those bare spots that didn't dye, but I like it anyway. I'm really happy with this. And I
love the color.
Yeah. There were several of these. My boss retired a couple of weeks ago, and there are several things I'm working on. I'm like, oh, you know, maybe this would be a good gift for Judith. I haven't finished any of them, so I actually want. Is it the next one? Yeah, the next one I'm going to talk about. I actually may finish up and end up mailing to her or giving to her as a belated retirement gift. That is. Can you grab that? I'm surrounded by...
We have matching bags.
We do.
I know. I'm feeling left out here.
She is going to do... This is a...
Fat Squirrel.
Fat Squirrel bag. This is for all of you listeners. It's her library card, the library card bag that she did a couple of years ago. She has some fabric and she's going to do special orders for these.
Okay.
At the first of the month.
Okay.
Until the fabric is gone, I think. So, if you want one.
I'm kind of feeling left out here.
Yeah, she will have them at least. I think she was expecting to do it at least through the summer.
Okay.
So, I'll give you the information.
Yes, please.
About it. But this is the Color Study by Carolee Harding using Daisy Knits in Wicked Cool and Sweet Georgia Tough Love Sock in some kind of berry color. I couldn't find. I have it written down somewhere, but it wasn't in my pet. It was not in my project notes. It's all called on my stitch markers. So this is a striped shawl. It's really interesting, actually. So it's a garter stripe shawl. It alternates between like a garter stripe and a couple of rows of stockinette. And there's a center spine, and on each side of the center spine, the colors are reversed. So on one side, the garter stitch is this Wicked Cool, which is like a purple and green and blue variegated. And then the stockinette portion is the Sweet Georgia. And then on the other side of the spine, the garter ridge is that Sweet Georgia. And the stockinette portion is the Wicked Cool. So it makes for a really neat effect. And it's really hard to see the effect because it's still on my needles, but I think it's going to look really cool when I can block it out. And then it has, at the end, there's some short rows, and so I think the sections are a little bit wider, which I think will make the effect more pronounced. Yeah. But this is also pretty mindless knitting, at least until I get to the short rows.
You've been working on that one a while.
Yeah,
Was that stitches or into the wool? I remember you working on that.
I probably started it for into the wool. I think she was a sponsor, so that would make sense. I don't know how long this has been on the needles, but whenever I pick it up, I really enjoy it. It's a good knit, and it's going to be so pretty. Okay. And then the last work in progress, and I actually forgot a kind of finished object, but I'll talk about that in a minute. I got a little bit done on my Riley Rose by Jennifer Lassonde. And I think I got finished with one section and then got another section done.
Yeah, I had meant to ask you about that because you had started it about the same time I did.
Right. Yeah, I actually started it before you. And I'm actually, I think, maybe a section away from the center point of it. So I'm using Stunning String Studio, which I don't know why I have the hardest time remembering that, which is, they have really, really great tonals. And they've been making the festival circuit, because every podcast I hear that someone's been there, they've been there. But I'm using, I don't remember the colors. There's a light blue, which I think is Westminster blue. I think I have that backwards. It's something to do with sky, with the sky. And then a dark blue, which is Westminster blue. And then a yellow, which is maize, maybe?
Maybe.
I can't remember, but it's... right now, I like it. It needs more to balance out the yellow.
Yeah.
But I think once I get past it, it's
good. You're just using the three colors?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's the last section I did was a mesh section, and I clearly messed. I got off somewhere, but I don't care. It's not that big a deal. And this is one of those. I mean, the sections are small enough that I can, if I pick it up, I can get one done in a couple of days. But I, like I said, I've been really devoting almost all of my knitting time to the starting point. I thought I had something else on the list. I don't know why I don't have it.
Can you talk about your sweater?
Yeah, I had it on here. I must have accidentally deleted it.
Because you and I were in at the same time.
Right.
No.
Yeah. I probably when I was, I copied and pasted, and I probably copied over something. But I finished my harvest and talked about that the last time. But I think I probably mentioned that the sleeves were way too big, and I was probably going to re-knit them. So I am in the process of doing that right now. I ripped the first sleeve out about a week ago and have been working on that over breaks and lunch at work, which some days I get a break, some days I don't. Some days I stay at work for lunch and some days I don't. So it's taking a little longer than I thought, but I started out with 70 stitches on the sleeve and went down to somewhere in the 50s. And I had decided I was going to take it down to about 42. And I did the math. I brought my Knit to Flatter book up to work so I could see how, you know, she had a section on customizing sleeves. And I measured it, and I thought I was going to need to decrease over 12 inches. But I tried it on yesterday, and I think I'm at 58 stitches. And it's already down to my mid-arm. So I think I'm only going to go down, maybe it was even lower. I think I'm going to do one more decrease section and then do the garter. And I think it'll be fine. It's already, I can definitely tell that it fits much better. I like the way it fits. I'm hoping that having the sleeves fitting will make the whole thing feel better. Because right now it's super comfy, and I've gotten compliments on it, especially the color. The color, I used Blue Moon Fiber Arts Targi Worsted in the Hot Rod, and it's like this beautiful tonal red. It's just absolutely gorgeous. But it needs to fit better. And then the only, it's not actually a work in progress because I haven't started it yet, but next on my wheel will be Jinx yarn Masham wool, which is a long wool, and I've never spun anything like this. And it's in the pumpkin patch colorway, which is very autumny, kind of very kind of a russet color. Mm-hmm. It's going to be pretty. I'm eager to start because it's something I haven't done before. I've been reading up on Masham, and it's not generally a like Nexus skin soft wool, so I don't know what I'll actually do with this, but it'll be a good experience.
So you wouldn't use it for an accessory, or
I might be able to do like mitts, or maybe even I guess it depends on how thin it spins and mm-hmm. That kind of thing. I've heard that it actually makes a really nice lace, but I don't have the patience to spin lace weight. So we'll see.
That's so teeny.
Yeah, and then this is out of order. Like I can get the, I can get the bullets right, but I've also picked up my cross stitch again, and I'm doing my 15 minutes a day, which I did a few years ago, just to kind of keep myself going. And I've been doing that for about a week, and I've been working on the National Park sampler that I started sometime in the fall, and then I put it down. I think probably because if I do too much cross stitch, it hurts my shoulder. And which is why I kind of keep it to the 15 minutes per day. And then I also, my glasses prescription needed to be upped. And I got tired of taking my glasses off and putting them on top of my head. So once I got new glasses a few weeks ago. And now I can see my cross stitch again without it being a pain. So I've gotten it back out. And I'm really enjoying that. It's just so relaxing. But that's it.
Oh, my. Yes. Okay.
Finally.
And I just have like a couple things. I don't know. I'm just in one of those slumps where I'm not really into anything. Mm-hmm. I have a pair of socks that I've been like knitting at work, and I am so close to being done. They're the ones in the Knit Picks Felicie, mm-hmm. Hummingbird, the ones that are striped of the teal and the purple and the pink and the blue. And they're really pretty, and I know I'm going to wear them a lot. And I'm so close to finishing that second toe I was going to do it this weekend, and I left it at work, which kind of makes
when
me
that happens.
Sad.
I hate that. There have been times when I've been so frustrated that I almost drove back to work.
Yeah, and it's like, and I didn't realize it until today. I'm like, So, the other thing I'm kind of like half-heartedly, like starting and stopping, I've been working on a Claire Garland mermaid stuffy. It's kind of has a folk art feel to it. It's very different from a lot of stuff that I've done. I had an idea of like, oh, I'll do my office and all sea creatures during the summer. And I don't know, I'm kind of like starting and stopping, and it's mostly like cotton yarn out of my stash. Yeah. For some reason, I'm just like really looking at my cotton yarn just to see, because it feels good. And I've got some nice stuff. Mm-hmm. So what do I do with it? So that's the other thing that I've been doing.
I forgot one thing.
Of course.
I did. So the other thing, I actually took a break from the starting point. A friend of ours had a baby, and I wanted something quick, so I made this little crochet sweater. And I can't remember the name of it right now. It's from the One Stitch Wonder Crochet book.
I love that book.
And I think this may be the first pattern I've actually made out of the crochet one. And it's just a cute little, the pattern is something Bolero, and it's supposed to have these little dangly poppies on it. And I showed it to Katie the other day, and we kind of both agreed that maybe they were a little much. They might be cute on a toddler, but on a baby, I mean, this is obviously, at least a 6 month.
Yeah.
Size, if not even 12 month. I mean, she won't be wearing this.
I was going to say 6 to 9 months.
Yeah, she's not going to be wearing it anytime soon, but still.
You never know.
I thought they were just a little much. And I was completely decided when I tried to make them, and I'm like, I don't even know what this pattern is telling me to do. And then I looked closer at them, and they just kind of looked clunky. Like, the way they were, they
There were like rings attached to a cord.
Yeah, it was like it was like. Like a okay. Yeah, it was like a yeah, chain I've seen those in a lot of like boho. 5 to 9 crochet chains with a just like a crocheted circle around it. And then the way that like the, you closed up the circle, it left this kind of lump. And I was like, you know, that's actually kind
of
ugly.
Those show up in a lot of like boho crochet stuff that I've seen.
And so I think what I'm going to do, this is why I'm not considering it completely finished. I think I'm going to get a couple of like little heart buttons to put at the top. Cute. Because I feel like it needs to have something to close it.
It does, but and that'll be perfect. Yeah, something
or
like
I
that.
Could put something like right here in the middle. I don't know.
There are so many cute buttons.
I used, up there. This is Three Irish Girls, and I can't remember the pink color. It's one that I got from Katie's Sash last fall. But it was originally going to be a hat for Into the Wool, and I just never got to another one. So there was that. Okay, done.
Okay,
casting on soon. I don't have.
Okay, yeah, am I the only one? Anyway, Rudy Scott thing. Yeah. Okay, so actually, this is one of those things I kind of want a consult from y'all. All right, so I'm going to do some costume knitting.
Mm-hmm.
For Monster Scouts, which I mentioned before, they have a uniform, and the uniform is a gray shirt, which I have, and then a skull slide, which actually, what's weird is I have a skull slide, kerchief
I've seen
slide.
That before, yeah.
My dad, when he was a Boy Scout, he took like a discarded, he took like a trunk of a Christmas tree, and he carved the skull out of it.
Hmm.
And it's like this funny thing is he was going to give it to my brother, but he found out because I wear a lot of skulls, he gave it to me. So to me, it's like, it's a treasure. It's like, mm-hmm. so that, okay. And then they have an orange kerchief,
mm-hmm.
which, okay. So of course, naturally I think, you know, yeah, I could buy a bandana, but there's part of me is like, I could knit it because that would be mm-hmm. better, but it's orange and orange is so out of my wheelhouse.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of like, I was looking at patterns and I thought about Dancing Batty because it's kind of mm-hmm. like, it's kind of like a spoopy group, you know, cause it's, mm-hmm. it's, but I don't
I
think
that one, right? That
I think you
one
did
of,
that one.
The first shawl, maybe the second shawl.
And I looked at the chart and went, oh my God.
It was a first shawl for me. It was not hard at all.
Okay. Well, I think it's one of those things. I don't think that the bat for the work it is, mm-hmm. I don't think that the bats would read well. So I'm going to go with, Age of Brass and Steam, mm-hmm. which I know you've done.
Mm-hmm.
It's very
and Katie's
done it. It's very triangular, so I mm-hmm. think it'll read well as a kerchief.
And
but
it is definitely it's a kerchief size already.
So, yeah, so yeah. I think it'll work perfectly as a kerchief, and because the group runs at the Steam Crow, I think it'll. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of layers there, but it's that orange yarn that I'm just kind of like, okay, do I do some Kool-Aid dyeing of yarn? Should I wait until we go to Houston Fiber Fest and see what speaks to me? I'm just kind of like, it's like I want to start it, but I don't know what.
Fiber Fest is only 2 weeks away.
I know, so I'm probably going to wait, but I'm like, but orange is so out of my wheelhouse.
Right.
That I just, you know, because when I buy, I almost always run away with like, it's blue or green or purple or pink. You know, it's almost always
orange
in that.
Orange is something I rarely buy, but I keep finding myself gravitating. Like, especially, I like the reddish orange.
Yeah.
Like, I can't do, like, safety cone orange.
I think that would be too bright, and I'm almost thinking for me, because orange doesn't look very good with my skin tone, mm-hmm. but I think there's enough breakup with the gray with the uniform, mm-hmm. so it'll work. But I'm almost thinking of, like, a sherbet-y orange.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so I'm going to, when we go to Houston Fiber Fest, I'm going to need some like hand holding of like,
and I'll keep my eye out.
Oranges.
Yeah.
It's just not a color that I gravitate toward.
Yeah.
But I want it to be an enjoyable knit too. And I think if I find the right one, I think I will enjoy it.
Maverick Yarn is going to be there and, she does a lot of like tonals.
And I think I want a tonal rather than something.
I would think she would be a good one to look at.
Okay.
Gritty Knits does a lot of colors.
Okay.
Yeah, and I've done a yellow from, like, a kind of a yellow from her on fiber before.
Because I don't want to get too variegated. I don't want to do striped because really that doesn't follow.
Lazy Cat will be there who also
Lazy Cat, yeah, I bought some stuff from Lazy Cat.
And she does a lot of the superhero type stuff. So I could see her having an orange. Is Alicia Gojeron going to be there?
Yeah, and so it's Round Table.
And the Round Table is the other one I was thinking of. That a lot of theirs are on the tonal side rather than the variegated. So,
and I probably will
definitely have some options.
I think so. And I'll probably also pick up like some stuff to knit some uniform socks that are cute. Those I would probably want to be like striped and spoopy and kind of Halloween colors. And...
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's kind of what this group is like. It's a very spoopy group.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's what I'm looking to do that is ahead.
I'm trying to think. I don't have anything listed. I've got so many projects that, well, we're...
Oh, I know.
I'm participating in Stash Dash, which, I mean, if you listen to podcasts, you know, it's the annual summer knit along by the Knit Girls. Where you just basically, you try to knit a 10K worth of yarn, but now there's so many levels you can't, it's like, you just knit as much of your stash as you can over the summer. So I'm really working, I really want to try to get some of these whips off the needle. I really like the starting point, but it's holding me back. But that will be some serious yardage if I can get that finished.
Now, have you done the second part of it too? Or just, you've just done the first?
I am on the second piece of the second clue.
Okay. Yeah. So you're doing both of them at the same time?
Yeah. So what I'm doing, I'll finish this one and then I'll keep going on that one and then pick up the other one and then finish that. So, but the one thing, this is not casting on, but I keep seeing people sewing these skirts. I don't sew, but I kind of want to make a skirt, so I might get brave and pull out my sewing machine that I've hardly used. I've hemmed a curtain, which I was very
congratulations.
Proud of.
That
was like 3 years ago.
I can't even find all the parts of my sewing machine.
I know where they are. They're kind of buried. Our back room was supposed to be my craft room. Then my husband said, "Well, it can be both of our work zones," and it's just a mess.
Yeah,
it's a mess.
Yeah.
But, so I'm considering doing that. So that's the only thing coming up. Acquisitions? Anything? I know I've got a few things, but
I've got a couple things. Well, they're project bags. That one was made for me by my boss, actually.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I've talked about this.
Oh, I love the fabric.
I know. Okay, so the fabric, it's three fabrics. The one at the base, and this is like a drawstring bag. It's kind of... I told her, it's like, when you have an Etsy shop, I will buy from you. Because the bottom is kind of like phases of the moon, but it's in kind of blueberry colors and blues. And then the top panel is, they're comets, but they're little bunny comets.
Oh, I didn't even notice. That's
so cute. Yeah, they're
little
bunny comets. And then it's got kind of like gray and white cloud interior. And it's really,
very nice.
The way she's done it, it's just, I can't even remember. She was just making stuff. She's like, I had these scraps and I thought of you and I made you a bag. And I'm like, and it's one of these perfect project bags.
Yeah.
I'm like, so I will buy from her. The other project bag I actually bought at Comic Palooza and I'm mad that I can't find the card to say who the vendor is, but there are a lot of people who it's a Big Hero 6. It's Baymax and he's in all these little positions, but, there were a couple vendors at Comic Palooza that they either do like they do dice bags but they're like the size I'm like that could hold sock yarn and I'm talking about like this is a makeup bag yes but it also holds projects so I ran off with there's a couple of them that I ran off with but I really liked the
that's really cute fabric.
It's really cute fabric of like Baymax in different positions and in his armor and I thought it was very cute and it's actually got so I could use it as a makeup bag if I wanted
but it's
to
also
but
nice and waterproof
it's waterproof which is also very good so she lines all of her stuff she had really good I'll find the card. Because she had really good, like, wallets and some beautiful purses but these bags that I looked at and she went, oh yeah, they could be. There were a lot of vendors at Comic Palooza that were like, yes, this also is they understand that that's also part of the community. And there was one, and again, I should have brought the card, but it was in the area of like, where it was authors that were selling their books. And she's like, this book has the idea of a thread. Oh, and look, I see that you have a knitted object. Do you know that there's, you can get a mini skein of yarn that goes along with this book?
Oh.
So yeah, I'll find the book. Yeah, so it's like, yeah. So there's that weird undercurrent,
yeah.
You know.
Oh yeah.
Knitters are everywhere.
Yeah.
Those are my acquisitions. Yeah.
I already showed the snozzberries that I got when I was talking about the blanket. I also got some mustache yarn. She did I think the pre-orders ended within a day or so ago. She did this classic book series, great book series. I can't remember what she called it. It's in here somewhere. Oh, here it is. And I saw it, and I don't always have ninja skills, so I actually texted Katie. I'm like, can you use your ninja skills? And I'm like, I'm going to try to, and if one of us gets it, you know. So I actually ended up getting it myself. But there were several books, but this one is Over the Rainbow, so it's a Wizard of Oz themed. It says it's inspired by Dorothy's journey through the wonderful Wizard of Oz. So it's got a rainbow, kind of almost a muted rainbow.
I was going to say, it's not screaming rainbow. It's...
And then this, like a gold. And I see the gold, and I think wheat fields in Kansas. But someone else said Yellow Brick Road.
Yeah.
So I don't know why that didn't even occur to me. But it's, they are, I don't. I wish there was a picture on the on here of what the stripe pattern is like.
Yeah, but some of our skeins have that now.
Yeah, but the this one is like there's rainbow, but the yellow brick road portion is thicker. Is what I remember.
They're not even stripes,
right? And yeah, okay. I just saw it and I was like, I have to have that.
That's really fun.
Wizard of Oz is one of my favorite movies. The book, can't even care for.
See, I liked the book.
It was okay, but it wasn't all that to me. But I really wanted the yarn, so I got that, and then I got a coloring book. I got Franklin Habits.
I bought that coloring book.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I Dream of Yarn. And
it's so cute.
Yeah, I think I'd heard of it, but then I heard it. The Knit More Girls reviewed it on their podcast a few weeks ago, and I had looked on it. I looked at it on Amazon. It was like $9 or something on Amazon.
I'm trying to remember. I think I picked mine up in like a store somewhere.
It was cheap. At the time, it was like $1.99 or something on Barnes & Noble. And then, but I hadn't bought it. And because Amazon is creepy, they emailed me within a day or two to tell me that it was like $6. I'm like, well, I have to buy it then.
Yeah.
So I have not colored in it at all, but it's just so cute.
I started a couple. Again, when I was thinking like, I should do my office and like sea creatures. I was going to color the octopus one and frame it and put it in my office. Yeah. I get these ideas. I know.
there's cats in baskets and just
It's like
the gnomes.
Yeah, there's a lot of like it's like whatever theme you want. You could almost do it like a seasonal thing. Right. You know,
a rotating. A really good review. Oh, there's your mermaid.
See, I have to finish my.
Knit More Girls did a really nice review of it. I loved it. So
it's
I
cute.
Bought it.
Okay, we need a coloring night.
And what about you, Katie?
Let's see.
That'll be fun.
I bought a couple pins off of Slipstitch Studios because I was buying a bag, so you might as well, throw a couple other things in the cart. And then, so I got a shawl pin that's a cat.
I didn't notice the tail.
Yeah, that's so freaking cute. Aww.
I kind of wish they were silver because gold just kind of clashes a little bit, but it's like a kilt pin. Or this is what I used to have as a kilt pin.
Yeah,
with a cat head on it and a little tail. They came in black and white, and I got black. And then
that one makes me laugh.
There's a ton of other ones too. A white cat giving the bird with both hands. So this is from Slipstitch Studio, and I linked to it in the show notes. There was a ton of other pins.
I may go look.
Llamas and cactus and stuff like that. So I got those.
I don't know though. I got this big project bag. For some reason, I was wanting a. I didn't realize this bag was going to be this big.
It is huge. It is a big bag, but oh my gosh.
For what I paid for it, yeah, wonderful. It better be. It can hold 20 skeins of yarn.
Wow.
What?
Wow. Well, because I cleaned off the table to go upstairs and take pictures. So I just shoved it all in there. So it can hold about 20 skeins of yarn or an 18-pound cat. A good spot I take pictures is on the floor by the bed, by the window. And so I had all my yarn spread out around me in the bag, and my cat got in the bag. He's an 18-pound cat, so Jethro was nice and happy. He's like, fancy sleeping bag just for me, Mama.
I love it.
Oh, my God.
And it came with a little tote, so it could be like Notions or something,
yeah,
maybe.
That's yeah, that's so cute.
I wouldn't use it as a project bag.
It's really small.
I don't socks like, at most.
Yeah. I don't like barely. I feel like I'm cramming my stuff. I don't like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's okay. That's even small for socks.
I yeah, think. I think it's like
it's cute.
So
it would be great.
But I like
though,
the D ring.
You know
thing.
What would it would be really good is to like stick your phone and your wallet or something like that oh, end and down in that bag.
Yeah.
Yeah, because yeah, there's and this is a tote from Slip Stitch Studios. It's their tote that runs about $120. I got it on sale. It's the pink pirate or skull fabric. So it's pink with skulls with scissors underneath it. Because I also like skulls or anything piratey. And it's got some gray fabric with glittery polka dots. And then on the inside are some pockets.
Oh, nice. Oh wow.
And some like yarn guides. It's a little on the heavy side, but I'm like, this would be a nice tote or something like to take to a conference or whatever.
Yeah.
It still feels a little heavy, though, to carry around all day, but it's a nice, nice knitting bag. Of course, my husband's like, another bag?
You don't understand. That's like...
Mr. I have a wall of shoes.
Exactly. So
exactly.
Everybody's got something. It's okay.
I know. Or Mr., you know, office supplies.
Okay, now those guys stop. Don't
granted,
start
those
about.
Don't cost the price of.
I know, but office supplies. Come on, man.
Yeah, one day I went in there and he had like 7 clipboards. I'm like, do we have a problem? Seriously, he had like 5 clipboards at
were
least.
Were they all the same color?
Yeah, they're all just generic clipboards.
Okay, no, that's wrong.
But he was using them, you know, for school or whatever. And so, like, really? So yarn acquisitions. I finally got my Rock and String Derby yarn.
Oh.
Well, I had ordered the, she was going to dye up yarn, to match the jersey of the winners, mm-hmm. of the winner or winners of the Kentucky Derby.
Mm-hmm, okay.
So that's why I had to wait. Plus, I think she's been having some back issues.
Oh.
So, you know, dyeing yarn.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be bad. Hard on your back.
Yeah, because I ordered this in early April and I just got it this week. So this is Rock and String Creations Super Sock in Derby Day, which is a self-striping yarn ode to the Kentucky Derby. So it's got like a brick red, blue, there's some pink, some green. So it's self-striping. The mini skein that came with it is bright yellow and a blue. That's called Always Dreaming. So I don't know if that's the horse
I
that,
that
won.
I think that's yeah. the horse that won. Yeah.
It's supposed to be the color of the jersey of the
sure,
jockey that
the
won.
The silks, yeah.
Yeah. I'm also on the Hippo bandwagon for Lolo Did It. So I got a skein of Hippo for Mom. So the Hippo base is a very light gray. And Hippo for Mom, my skein doesn't have a lot of colors in it. It just has a splotch of purple and then a splotch of, like, a dark purple red.
I'm wondering if there will be more, like, when you unskein it.
I was playing with it yesterday when I took pictures, and I don't think so. Oh. But, and that's okay.
Still pretty.
I'm eager to see what Hippo for 4th of July looks like. I'm guessing it's going to be... splotches of red and blue.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty. Yeah.
And then I got Hippo for Dad, which again is that light gray base with splash of brown, like that brown green, a blue. Hippo for Dad is on Lolo's favorite, which is an 80-10-10. It's kind of, I just kind of grab whatever I can get when I get on there. And then the Hippo for Mom is the plush sock, which is 75% superwash, 15% nylon, and 10% Tencel. So, I want to do something kind of special with all of them, but I'm going to have to wait a while to build them up through the year.
Sure.
Yeah.
So, we will see. Since knitting, I was trying to work on my socks on that sock blank, and I think the signature needles are just, my hands, I don't know, I think I need to go to the doctor, because I think I officially have arthritis. Uh-huh. And then, so I got a sock blank from Spun Right Round. This is Shockstar. I have this on one or two of her other bases, like actual sock yarn. So it's fluorescent colors, a bright yellow, fluorescent green, blue, pink. 80s.
Yeah, yes, actually.
Oh, it's the highlighter neon colors.
Yeah.
On a 75-25, so collecting sock blanks too, so. and then I thought I had canceled the Gradient Club because I don't know what I'm going to do with all these gradient cakes. I really don't.
Have you seen Heidi from Undead Yarn? Just published a pattern that is for her gradient, but that would be a really
That
nice
would be really pretty. Yeah, I know which one you talked about. Yeah.
Well, it comes with some suggestions, so that's nice. But this is, I was part of the Knit Circus Gradient Club, so every other month they sent a gradient on a various base and weight. This is called Keep Calm and Carry Yarn, so it starts with a very pale, like, peach pink, goes to cream, yellow, green, and blue. So kind of a rainbow a little bit.
That's pretty.
I love that blue.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a denim-y.
Yeah.
And I love the thing, the way it's kind of caked up. It almost looks like a rose. It's very pretty.
Right. And it's so really this pretty. Is on their parasol base, which is 30% mulberry silk and 70% merino, 440 yards. So it would make a nice shawl. It's just, or a cowl or something. So I need to knit with some of my gradient. I have a whole bunch of cakes, and I just don't know what to do with them. Because I've got a couple from Panorama Fibers. Mm-hmm. I got some Vice I bought a long time ago. Mm-hmm. You know, they called me, but then I'm like, I don't know, you know.
Yeah.
So.
I know.
That's all I got for acquisitions.
So, upcoming events. We've mentioned several times Houston Fiber Fest. Mm-hmm. That's coming up in 2 weeks.
Yep.
So excited. I'm just so, and the more we were talking, I'm like, I can't wait. I my intention is to not buy a whole lot, but I'm, I really don't need more yarn. Blasphemy, but yes, was it yesterday that I was talking about this? Okay, maybe it was Thursday. I think it was over lunch. So Eat Sleep Knit was having this like flash sale where for up until 1 p.m. that day, anything you ordered, if you put in Golden Kitty in the note field, you're eligible for to win or for drawing for multiple prizes they were giving out. So I went and looked, and I'm like, I don't want any. I don't need this. So I don't know what I'll do in terms of yarn. It's completely different when you're completely surrounded by it. But I kind of want to focus on like some of the non yarn things. Like, is it what's Muddy?
Muddy Knitter.
Yeah, Muddy Knitter, who does
Muddy Soap, I think is what she's calling herself now.
Yeah, and do they do the pottery also, or is that someone else?
She does. Well, that's all she does is pottery and some soap. Yeah,
right. Okay. And she had coffee too.
Did she?
I think.
I don't know. But I got a couple tumblers from her and a mug.
There was somebody at Yellow Rose have really great soap, and they were from the San Antonio area. I don't remember seeing a name that stood out on Houston Fiber Fest, but I'm interested in things like that, like soap and pottery and things that I wouldn't normally buy. Although I was thinking for Park Avenue, I might get some spun right round because I've spun some fiber the very first, like, nice. Because
I'm sure they'll bring that in the Hedgehog and the nicer stuff that they carry in the store. That's so what they had last year. Yeah. So they want a craft badge.
Huh?
Oh, the craft badge.
Oh yeah. I don't know what that is.
I know, but my ears perk up. Badge.
They're like $10 a badge. Oh, they're really? Like Girl Scout badges.
Oh, yeah, okay, so
that's
like
what they look like.
Yeah. And so
you know I'm going to go for something like that.
You can look online and see what badges there are. So it's like learning to knit continental or,
seaming.
So they're knit, crochet, craft related. They're like $8 or $10.
Mm-hmm.
They're a little bit pricier than you would think for what they are. Mm-hmm. And they're not pins, they're actual patches.
They're actual patches. Mm-hmm. But that would be really fun on like, if you had like a project bag that you carried around specifically for that.
Right.
Yeah. Another satchel of holding kind of thing.
It's like people buying the fringe supply company bags and they're putting the pins on them.
I don't know that I want to put holes in this.
Yeah.
For the price that it costs.
That's what I've never looked at the prices, but I've heard. I mean, people talk about them
65?
Being 65. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. I probably wouldn't.
The other thing they had, they posted this on Facebook. I shared it on Facebook, and I shared it and realized I hadn't tagged you. I was going to tag you.
No.
Because they have the little individual, like, mini mochi kits.
Oh, yeah. Okay, no, I think I
did
see that on your page.
So I was hoping that maybe they will bring those.
I would think they would.
I think so.
That's something easy to put in a basket or just...
Right, and I love her designs. Her designs are always so cute, and every year I wait for her when she does her photography contest,
because
they are what people do with these little... Oh, my gosh, every year, and then people post, like, they put all the little things that they've made in all these little positions, and they are hilarious. There are people... It is so worth looking at every single year.
Ever done one? I did a little chicken, so that's my buying plan. More importantly, I'm looking forward to seeing people. I don't know who's coming. I know I still haven't talked to Jeanette Bookish Stitcher to see if she was still interested in coming at Yellow Rose. I offered my house if she wants to stay. So if you're listening, you're still welcome. But hopefully, I will have texted you before you actually hear it on the podcast. But I know that there are other people from San Antonio coming. There are some people, like, I know Zombie Knitpocalypse is the same weekend in Minnesota. So, like, Heidi from Undead Yarn is going to be there. Suburban Stitchers, Diane is going to be up there. So that may, throw things off. But I am looking forward to seeing people. I think Leslie was interested so I need to let her know what our plans are when we know.
And I know that we have a conflict of time because my husband's doing a presentation in the afternoon, so I'll probably go in a separate car in the morning.
Okay.
So I will be there in the morning.
Yeah.
I have a cute cat shirt that I'm going to wear.
I probably will wear
a cat knitting shirt.
If I can't take my yarn. Whatever it says. I'm not going or something like that. Or I'll wear some knitting themed shirt.
I probably won't bring my sheep this year though.
No,
I think that's done.
Okay.
It's done.
Definitely looking forward to it.
Do
you know if Jessica's planning to go?
I've mentioned it to her, so hopefully so.
Yeah, I think she really enjoyed going to Yellow Rose. So.
She did. Yeah. She did. She really talked. She liked it. I think sometimes it's intimidating and to have a friend to kind of help guide you through and make it less.
We didn't get to spend a lot of time there, but it was fun. That was fun.
So and I'm looking for orange.
Orange. And then the other thing coming up in a few months is Stitches Texas. I'm hoping to go. We haven't made firm plans yet. We've talked about it. I think that I have budgeted vacation days so that I could take like a Friday and go up. If not, we could go up Saturday morning like we did last year and stay through Saturday night. I think honestly it will probably depend on who's going because it's a long way up there for just to do a couple hours of yarn shopping if we're not going to see friends and hang out. So,
well, and we should talk to them if, like, Tania and them are going to go maybe try and get in the same hotel again or something.
Right. That would be a lot.
That where we could hang out in somebody's room or down in the lobby and have a knit night or whatever.
Yeah. So we'll, I know Tania is planning to come to Houston Fiber Festival. So maybe we can talk about that over lunch or something. But, and, maybe we can coerce Dorsey. Darcy.
I haven't called that in a while.
I grew up with someone whose last name was Dorsey. I don't know. I'm surprised that's the first time that's ever come out.
That's okay. I respond to it.
So, non-knitting. Well, we said it was going to be a long one, so no apologies. In the kitchen, I don't have a whole lot. So we have a fabulous fig tree in our backyard that is a prolific producer. And usually I don't do anything with them. I think I've given some to Darcy before.
I love figs. Oh my gosh.
I'll eat them off the tree as I see them, but usually the birds or bugs get to them before I can actually harvest them. This year, I'm pretty sure it was early and I just happened to look out and I'm like, oh my gosh, there are figs on the tree and they are ripe. So I went and grabbed as many as I could. And actually cooked with them this year. I did a fig and prosciutto pizza, which was not as good as I thought it would be. I've had one before. There's a place in Austin that makes one that's really good. But I think maybe mine, they weren't quite ripe enough. They just weren't quite sweet enough. And it has a balsamic vinegar glaze, and mine was still a little vinegary, so that's...
Okay, yeah, that's
it
tricky.
Was, so it just wasn't perfect, but I really did like the concept, and I was glad that I tried something with them. And then I made some fig jam. I didn't want a can, but I found a recipe on Pinterest for a quick fig jam that doesn't require... You just do it on the stovetop, and it makes, it's a small batch. So it made enough for, made about a cup's worth.
Okay.
And I saved some, and Jimmy was going to Austin to stay with some friends, so I sent just a tiny bit with him to take up there.
Nice.
So that went really well, and then I had to stretch way back to think if we have baked or done anything, and Laura made, I told her for Mother's Day that she should bake me a cake, and so she made me a caramel apple poke cake, and if you are familiar with poke cakes, it's just a cake mix, and you poke holes in it and pour some kind of sauce on top and then a whipped cream on it. And this one also had apple pie filling and caramel sauce. And it actually turned out really good the second day. The first day, first of all, we were impatient and didn't realize you really do need to let a poke cake sit. So all of the stuff will soak in. If you've ever eaten tres leches cake, it's kind of the same concept. It really needs to soak down in it. And she also took it out just a little early, and it was not her fault. It was really impossible to tell. So the middle section of it was still uncooked. But we ate around the edges and left that. And then the second day after it had been in the refrigerator for a night, it was so good. She was really disappointed with it at first, but the next day I'm like, no, this is perfect. So that's it. I had thought in my head yesterday, as opposed to my fingers, I don't know, that I would bake something and bring it with me today, and I kind of forgot. So
it's all good.
I haven't done anything like that.
My husband is like, okay, so I put down our garden has gone wild. So I don't garden, but my husband Jeff gardens. Mm-hmm. And he's had a couple of mediocre years. And last year was a really bad year. But this year, his garden has gone crazy. Mm-hmm. Where we have these pod beans that end up being 5 or 6 inches long. He had so many tomatoes, he was trying to figure out what to do with them.
Brought them to me.
I know. Well, it's he's actually been kind of cute because he's been I've got to go across the street and give stuff to the neighbors, which is very sweet. Yeah. It's very community and I really like it. And he's also growing these cucumbers that he thinks he's found all the cucumbers, and then he finds one more and he calls it a ninja pickle. And so our refrigerator right now is full of like all these refrigerator pickles mm-hmm. with all these different flavors mm. right now, like Korean style and Japanese style and Italian style, and they're really good. So I have I have all these ninja pickles in my house.
Yeah, I've seen his posts on Facebook, and
It's gone crazy this year. He's had a good harvest year, and it's gone long.
I don't have a green thumb.
I don't either. I'm kind of amazed.
I'm a little jealous.
Me too.
A little jealous, but at the same time, it's like I'd rather knit than go garden. So
I know it's his thing, yeah. And he's also put up like a lot of marigolds to kind of draw in pollinators.
Oh, yeah, and they also keep the slugs and stuff
yes,
out,
so they
too.
Keep those yep. down.
I do know something about gardening.
We have a friend who has, she's actually certified her part of her front yard is like this way station for traveling pollinators. And now, and she does all this education stuff. And so whenever we need to go find out about pollinators, we call Lauren and, mm-hmm. and she does, she's actually doing a presentation at like Freeman Library.
Oh, wow.
Like in a couple weeks. Mm-hmm. So it's kind
That's
of amazing.
Really cool.
Reading and watching.
You want to talk?
Sure. Let me get my notes back up. Yeah, just shut the door when you're done so it's so loud.
I was going to say, we're going to edit that out.
No.
You get what you get.
Okay, so it's been a long time since we talked about books. I read The Whole Thing Together, which is a YA book by Anne Brashears. Oh. She is the one who wrote the series The Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants, mm-hmm. which was pretty good. The Whole Thing Together, I only gave it 2 stars. I honestly had a hard time understanding the family dynamics the first quarter of the book. Mm. Sasha and Ray are teenagers who share a room, but not at the same time.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, I was reading about that book.
At a beach house, so one family's there for a week, another family's there for a week. They're divorced.
Yeah, it's a weird blended family
situation. It's a weird blended family situation, so that was a little hard to grasp. And then I'm like, really, Ray and Sasha haven't met in the, like, 13, 15, 16 years they've been alive?
That's
kind of
weird.
But yet they share 3 sisters?
I have step siblings that are like that. Oh. That it's just like one of those things that happen sometimes.
But in like 15 years, you would have never like at a birthday or something like that or graduation.
I think I had one stepsister that she came. I met her once just because she was curious about family health history.
They live in the same area.
I know.
That part
is the weird part.
That's
what
bothered
me. And there's also like in our situation, it's a weird age stretch too,
yeah.
which makes it a lot
yeah.
weirder.
But I don't know. I just
it's
the story
not your
goes on over a summer, and then there's a tragedy, and the family finally comes together. But I gave it 2 stars because it was okay. And then I am currently reading Defy the Stars by Claudia Gray. She's known for. She had a vampire series that I really liked. She had a time travel series that I've talked about before. And then she's kind of starting to get into Star Wars and stuff, but I don't care to read that. So
mm-hmm. Yeah.
But Defy the Stars is a YA science fiction set in space. So for the longest time, I was thinking kind of along like the Crest and Cinder.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah.
But it's not.
Okay.
But that's kind of in my head where I kept going. One of the main characters' name is Nomi or Naomi.
Nomi.
Is
the same character as, like, was that Showgirls?
She's a teenage girl who's in the military or whatever, trying to save her world, and her friend are out scouting before this big mission, and they're in separate ships, and her friend gets attacked, and so she goes to save her friend, and they find this spaceship or something. It's either a spaceship or something floating, and so she finds Abel, who's a mech, which is a robot.
Mm-hmm.
So he's kind of along the lines of Cinder, where he's, you know, part cybernetic,
mm-hmm.
part some human qualities, blood and tissue and stuff like that. He's been abandoned for 30 years on this spaceship. Nobody knows he's there or has come to look for him. And Naomi goes on the ship to try and save her friend. And because she's the first person to contact him in 30 years, he becomes loyal to her because of his programming or whatever. And so there's this big interstellar war going on. And so, you know, you have to learn about all their travels, their planet hopping. They're going through these gates, which are kind of like wormholes, maybe. I don't I skipped through some of that stuff.
It's a lot of world building. Sometimes a lot of world building that can politics, be exhausting. Yeah.
It's politics and world building that I don't really care about.
Yeah.
And so I kind of skip over it.
Okay.
So there may be fine points in there somewhere that
matter, that will matter sometime, but you know, I figure I'll
just glossed over. So I have about an hour left in the book. Like I said, it took me a while to get out of the Crest Cinder world because it's in space and they find the guy on a spaceship, kind of like they do on Crest. And but I've enjoyed it. It's surprisingly a really I've read it really fast. I started it the other day, and I have an hour left. So that's what I got.
So I've actually finished several things. I forgot one. Of course I did. So last time I was reading Lost Boy by Christina Henry, which is a retelling of Peter Pan from the perspective of a boy, Captain Hook.
Oh, yeah. I've heard about that.
It was very dark, dark, quite violent in a few places. You will not like Peter Pan. After you read this,
I kind of don't like Peter Pan right now. I mean, he's kind of like one of those characters that's like
unpleasant character and very selfish. I mean, that's you would expect Peter Pan to be actually, but it was good. It was, but that for me there was like that sense of dread through the whole thing that something bad was going to happen to one of the characters, and it you know so that always kind of knocks it down a notch for me because I don't really like to have anxiety when I'm reading. But the book itself was good. The writing was very good. And I liked the story. I also finished Spoonbenders by Daryl Gregory. Both of those, actually all three of these, were advanced reading copies that I got at the Texas Library Association.
And I have a copy of Spoonbenders in my office.
So good.
Okay, so it's definitely I have to read it. Yes. Okay.
Spoonbenders was fantastic. It is a family of psychics, except for the father, who was a shyster. And the mom was, like, the greatest psychic ever. She was, like, a spy for the...
Oh, wow.
Like, you know, with the Russians. I mean, not for the Russians, but it was, like, during the Cold War, she was a spy with her psychic abilities. And it's set mostly in 1995 with some flashbacks to early to mid 60s. I would say like the main character is a 14-year-old boy who has some psychic or really like telekinetic type abilities, out of body traveling type abilities. And it's just, there's like mob activity and the characterization is just really, really good.
Okay.
It's very thick. It was probably 400 pages. Yeah,
it's a thick one.
I don't know when it comes out, but probably very soon if it's not out already. And it is fantastic.
I'm trying to think. I know I've ordered it recently.
It's like end of June, I think, maybe when it's coming out. I think I told somebody this week or somehow it came up. I think it was like June 27th.
Okay.
But yeah, really, really, really liked that one. And then I just finished The Life She Was Given by Ellen Marie Wiseman. And she wrote something that was popular fairly recently, and I don't remember the title. But this book was so hard to describe. I mean, not to like attach a feeling to it. The writing was very good. The characterization was fantastic. If you have, this is slightly spoilerish, but if you have any issues reading about animal cruelty, this is not the book for you.
Okay.
The end of it was, there was just some serious brutality that I was less than, you know, I was probably 50 pages away from being finished, and I almost stopped because I could not handle it. And it was, I won't go into more details on the podcast, but I'll tell you more. But it was it was a good book, but basically I've learned, I after Water for Elephants, I decided I couldn't read about elephants anymore, and I shouldn't have. But I've decided after this one, I'm like, you know, I don't want to read any books about the circus anymore. I just, it's just...
No.
So it was also one of those kind of anxiety-building things in there. I didn't talk about the plot of it. So there is a young girl... Okay, so it takes place both in the 30s and then in the 50s. The early part, there is a young girl who had some type of disfiguration, which I'm not going to talk about because it comes out in the book, but her parents hid her away in the attic for 10 years and then sold her to the circus, or her mother sold her to the circus.
God.
And so it's just heartbreaking at the beginning, and then she makes her way in the circus, and then other stuff happens. But like I said, very well written, very good characterization, really heart-wrenching and difficult to read. Not on my list, I finally finished Drums of Autumn, which is the fourth book in the Outlander series.
Okay.
I've been reading, I don't know how long I've been reading it. It was off and on. It's on my Kindle. It's one I'd pick up occasionally. And then last week sometime, maybe the week before, I finished a section and I looked, I'm like, how far am I away from being done? Am I? Because I've got, in Kindle, I've got the box set.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't really tell how far in I am.
Right. Because they're all big crazy.
Right.
Yeah. And so I went and looked, and somehow in my head, I thought I had just finished like part 3. And there are 12 parts. I'm like, I am never going to finish this book. So I used one of our Audible credits and downloaded it. And I opened it, and I'm like, well, that can't be right. I had 5 chapters left, so I'm like, considering how rarely we actually use our Audible credit, it's not fine. I wasted it. So I finished that. I really, really liked the books, so that was really good, and I immediately started, I mean, it's a box set, so I didn't have to buy anything. I started reading The Fiery Cross, which is the 5th book, and downloaded that one. So I'm sort of listening. I'm kind of listening to it when I spin occasionally. It's not one that I intend to plow through, but I really do enjoy those books. And then I'm also currently, right now I'm actually reading, it's a Time Magazine special edition on Alexander Hamilton.
Oh.
That my coworker, Jennifer, brought me because she knows that I'm going to go see Hamilton next year. And is, you know, knows that I like the musical. And she's like, I got this. I thought you might be interested. So I've been reading that on the bus. I actually did put it into Goodreads, but it's, you know, like a not even 100-page little magazine full of essays. So that's interesting. And I have on my nightstand A Train in Winter, which is something about the Holocaust, and I'm not exactly sure yet. I couldn't quite bring myself to start reading something that heavy after I finished The Life She Was Given. So it's sitting there, and I started reading the prologue, and that's about it. I don't have anything written down for watching, but I've just kind of been sporadically watching. I started watching Anne with an E on Netflix, which is the Anne of Green Gables. And I really like it so far. The second one was really weird. There was stuff that happened. Like, this was not in the book. I'm like,
there was a girl on the Plucky board that was like, nope, that there's like human trafficking or something like that.
It was like, it was weird. It was like, so if you were, I mean, I love Anne of Green Gables. And so there's a part where, you know, they aren't, she does something like, what's her name?
Marilla,
thank you. Like, thinks she's stolen her brooch, and she gets mad at her. Well, she ends up on a train back to wherever she came from, which does not happen in the book.
Yeah, I don't.
And like, there's this whole
that.
Scene with Matthew going to find her and him falling and hurting his head, and it was like, I'm like, this is just weird. It's like, it doesn't have. I mean, there's. It's, I can understand like a little bit of, you know, something weird. I'm like, but the head. Why is that? That's, it was just bizarre. It was bizarre.
I'm on the fence whether I'm going to watch it or not.
I do like it, and I think the casting of Anne is very good.
Okay.
Yeah. But we've watched, I think I've watched 3 or 4 of those.
Okay.
And then yesterday, Jimmy watched Westworld a while back, and I watched the first 2 with him, but Laura wanted to watch it, so we've watched the second and third of that, which is really good. And then Jimmy and I started watching Grace and Frankie.
Oh, okay.
Which we had watched 1 or 2 and thought it wasn't, it was okay. But then I was like, no, we need to keep going. We need to keep going.
You usually got to get past the 3rd or 4th
yeah,
episode.
Right, and we watched.
Because right. You got to remember the first one. Well, I don't know how Netflix works, but regular TV, the first 1 or 2 are always kind of the pilot. Which is written
right.
Months in advance
right.
Before the show's
yeah.
Picked up.
And they
up.
Don't know what's yeah. Going to happen. And there's a lot of world building.
I think,
right. Getting
bought,
the,
I think we've watched 4 now. And the last one, we were just we're like, that was so great. So that's what I'm watching.
I did a lot of, well, I had to like slam a lot of reading of comic books because mm-hmm. I was doing a panel for Comic Palooza on Little Mavericks, which is Texas Library Association has a group, and these are like comic books that are great for kids. And there were 2 standouts that it was one of those things where I turned around and bought them.
Mm-hmm.
One was Mighty Jack by Ben Hatke. He wrote Zeta the Space Girl, mm-hmm. which is a huge hit in our house, and there's some carryover characters. But the setup is it's Jack is, he's like 13, 14 maybe. He's like a youngish teenager.
Mm-hmm.
And his mom is a single mom and she has to work 2 jobs to kind of keep the house. Their father left. And then he has a sister who is on the autism spectrum who is, she doesn't talk.
Mm-hmm.
And so the setup is that he's, since his mom's got to work, he's going to have like a super boring summer because he's going to take care of his sister. Well, they go to this, like big old flea market and he runs into actually a character from another series, who's kind of a scoundrel and he's trying to sell him Jack a bunch of seeds.
Oh.
And he says, I will trade you these seeds if you give me the keys to your mom's truck. Which, of course, is a dumb idea, and Jack knows that instantly. But his sister talks and says, Jack, I want the seeds. So it's like, so if his sister is talking, he feels like he kind of has to. Well, they get the truck back, and but they have all these seeds, and his sister goes out and plants this garden. And of course this garden has all these magical creatures in it and it attracts dragons and, and it's like it has these hands that come up and throw tomatoes at the house and the mom comes home and, but there's also like this, and I know this is based on Ben's daughters because I kind of stalk him on social media. He knows it. I've met him.
He's the one, you did a blog post.
I did a blog post about him. There's a neighbor girl named Lily who's homeschooled. And of course, when you're homeschooled, you learn all kinds of weird things. So she learns how to do like sword play because she's got older brothers and stuff, mm-hmm. which is not unusual because that was kind of my childhood too. Not mm-hmm. the homeschooling, but you know, like I fight with swords mm-hmm. and stuff. So she kind of, so it becomes like this.
And by weird stuff, I mean not typical classroom.
Right, exactly. Like not typical classroom kind of stuff. It's like, let's learn how to build armor and like let's smelt things and but it's really kind of based on his daughter and it's a fun romp and it ends on a cliffhanger and it's the artwork is great, the characters are well formed, they all have voices. It was one that I turned around and bought mm-hmm. right away and everybody in my family has read it. My daughter has read it like I think she told me, she's like, Mom, I've read it 5 times already. When's the next book coming out? And then the other one that I reviewed that I really liked is The Nameless City by Faith Erin Hicks. And the concept behind that is if there is a city that is, every time a city is conquered, that the whoever is the conqueror has renamed the city. Mm-hmm. And the city has been renamed so many, conquered so many times and renamed so many times, the city essentially is nameless. Mm-hmm. And it's so there's the city, the nameless city, and the people who live there are actually called the named. But there's a boy from one of the ruling class, and he's kind of learning how to be a soldier, and his father is, it's very kind of Game of Thrones without the sex and well, there's some violence, but without, you know, the sex and cutting off heads. but he's a son of one of the advisors to the ruling class, and, they go out into the city, and he runs into kind of like this urchin girl, and she teaches, they go on this race throughout the city. And so he kind of like learns how, it's one of those world building things where it's like there's class and there's, they learn how to be friends and that's a great friendship. They're racing each other. She's an orphan. She's you know, what the responsibilities of a ruling class is, mm-hmm. to give everybody a voice. There's an assassination attempt. I mean, it's kind of like it's a fun fantasy thing. Mm-hmm. It was another one that everybody in the family liked. So, okay. So that one was really fun. And I am currently reading, back to Monster Scouts. They actually have the book club, mm-hmm. that they're going to be having like a live cast book club in like November, December. There will be a badge for it. Mm-hmm. And it's probably about the time they have, the Monster Scouts have several branches that do several things. And they're going to have a Dark Librarians branch starting in the fall.
Oh, wow.
I'm just putting that out there. But the book that they're going to be discussing is Kraken by China Mieville. I have never read anything by him. I know he's like a big name in science fiction.
I started
a city
in the city and I didn't ever finish it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This one is kind of like, it's like a cross between, it's like X-Files, British police procedural kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It has to do with like a giant squid. Like a giant preserved squid in a bottle that's stolen, and, mm-hmm. and it involves a religious cult, and I haven't figured out beyond that. I don't know whether I like it yet. I'm not super into it yet to know, but mm-hmm. I'm going to read it because I want the badge. And then, of course, we finished watching Mystery Science Theater 3000, The Return, the reboot, and which was cool because we finished it right when Felicia Day came to Comic Palooza, and it's... If you like the old show, it really has the spirit, and it's got some enhancements, and it's fun. It's really fun. And Felicia Day sings with Neil Patrick Harris.
Oh.
And she sings in full voice, which is nice. They do a nice duet. It's fun. It's really fun.
Thank you if you have.
If you made it this far.
If you stuck with us this long. This has been fun. It's nice to catch up. We don't see each other as much as, well, definitely don't see each other as much as we used to. So it's really fun to catch up. I'm looking at a calendar to see when we might possibly record again.
When shall we three meet
again?
Yeah.
I don't know when Katie worked. Next, but I'm just looking like the weekend of the first weekend in July, I will be out of town. The second weekend of July,
I work.
Okay, and I'm not really available, so it's going to be at least mid-July before we can do anything. Do y'all have plans this summer that you were... Are you traveling in the middle of the summer?
No, because since I've started a new job, I don't have a whole lot of vacation time.
Yep. Yep.
July is that one is usually busy because my wedding anniversary and my child's birthday is
actually,
that time.
Yeah, looking at that, like, that next weekend, I think that's right.
We're actually talking about doing a renewal of vows at some point, too, because it's going to be our 20th anniversary. That's a biggie.
We may have to do a Sunday.
That's fine.
Actually, in July, just looking at the, like, you're working on the weekend of the 8th.
Mm-hmm.
I think that next weekend, that's right around your daughter's birthday, roughly.
The 15th, 16th.
15th, 16th. Her birthday's the 18th.
Yeah, I thought so.
So I honestly don't know if we're doing anything for her birthday.
So maybe that weekend. The next weekend is my son's birthday, but that, you know, he'll be 19. So again, where it's not, you know. But that is his actual birthday. But if we did early, that would be.
Yeah.
We could do that.
It's my last. Looks like my last belly dance class is around there too.
Oh, okay.
For the summer.
Yeah.
And then we start up in the fall.
Yeah.
But.
But so yeah, we'll find a time. So if you are coming to Houston Fiber Fest,
yes,
post on the board. I didn't mention we do have a Ravelry group. It's not super active, but we are there and we do check it regularly. We would love to meet up. I know last year we had a huge group of us that went out for lunch, and I suspect if there are enough, well, we will plan to go. Well,
I'm gonna check my schedule. And I did the stitch marker. I'll have to see when that's scheduled, because that was a whole lot of fun.
Yeah.
The swap. I saw it.
I know they have a schedule on Ravelry, and I saw when it was, but I don't remember what time.
Because that was really fun, and I'm still using a whole bunch of stitch markers from that.
Yeah.
And thinking of people fondly.
I keep wanting to make them, but I don't have too many other things that I want to do.
What? Another hobby?
But, we will definitely go to lunch. I know that our friend Leslie, who used to work with us, is planning to come, and I had told her we might go, and I think so she would be interested. If anybody from the group that came and hung out with us last year wants to go, I suspect that there will be a large group of us that will be going. So just let us know if you are interested, and I'll start a thread on the Ravelry group specifically for Fiberfest, and if anybody, we can post in there and make some plans, and just let us know if you're going to be there, and so we can say hi. I guess that's it, and we will talk to you sometime in July. All right, bye.
Bye.